Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Had a fun week filling in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Lawrence will be back next week. Want to thank his executive producer, Herb Lawrence, who helped me blast through the speakers of your radio all week long. And today specifically had a chance to chat with a lot of special guests, including Hall of Famer Fergie Jenkins, Ron Coomer, and Tom Thayer joined us. Eric Edholm talked NFL with us as well. And now it is time to transition to the Danny Parkins Show featuring Chicago sports personality Danny Parkins. Hello, my friend.
Hello, Zach Zaidman. Me, myself, and I today, and Shane and Tanny, of course, but just myself on the Danny Parkins Show. Good stuff with Thayer and Coomer. I heard you tease earlier when you were transitioning with Dan and Layla that those guys have such good chemistry. I hadn't heard the two of them together before, at least not that I could remember. You were not lying. They very clearly get along and bounce off each other very well for some nice storytelling there. That was good stuff.
Yeah, they're kindred spirits, and they didn't even know it. One from Joliet, the other right nearby in Lockport, and they've always meshed. It's the way they think about sports, the way they think about life. It's pretty cool. I do think it was interesting near the end listening to them talk about Chris Bryant. You know, we hear guys that are so bottled up and give us canned answers. And we crave authenticity in sports. And we get it from Chris Bryant in that interview with Redline Radio. And then he gets ripped for it. And I don't get it. I appreciate someone who's willing to take us on the inside. That's what we want. That's what we crave from a sports observing standpoint. And I don't understand why he's getting such a negative rap. He didn't say he feels that way right now. He admitted that for a while there, he lost his zest for the game and he had to recapture it. I appreciate someone being honest enough to say that publicly.
I obviously do too, right? We can't rip guys when we're in the information business and the media business. Hey, be honest. Don't give us coach speak. Don't give us canned answers. And then when they give us something real, then crush them for the realness. It's one of the great hypocrisies in the sports commentary game. And it's why so many athletes, frankly, are choosing to launch their own production companies, YouTube channels, partnering up with Players Tribune so that they can kind of control their message a little bit more. And it's unfortunate that it's gotten that way and that we have created a culture around basically de-incentivizing any sort of realness and vulnerability. I will say that I don't know, like, was he crushed by fans on Twitter and the text line for, like, being soft and, like, you know, that sort of thing? Because I didn't really see too many credible sources, if any, criticizing him for the honesty. So I don't want to create a straw man here and act like he was getting a ton of negativity. I know he came back at ESPN for clickbait and Jesse Rogers and the headline, but I actually thought that the headline was accurate. Like, it condensed what he had said into a headline, which is kind of just how the game goes, but I didn't really see many criticisms of him from reputable sources. Did you?
I think he was upset that the headline said Cubs Bryant not having as much fun as before, when I think if you clearly listen to it, he said that he's recaptured it. He went back and
sure,
started thinking about when he was a kid with his dad, and he was able to get back to where he needed to be. But he's been through a lot. You know, I thought Coom made a great point when we listened to him in the last segment. You know, 2018 was the first time that Bryant had to deal with failure of any kind playing a sport that he has dominated from the time that he was just a young pup. And I think that injuries have robbed him the last 3 years of being the superstar that he was in 15, 16, and 17. And I don't think it's a surprise that if you go back and you look at the way he performed in 2015, deep playoff run for the Cubs as he went on to win Rookie of the Year. 2016 MVP year, Cubs go on to win the World Series. 2017, career marks in several of the most important offensive categories, including average on-base percentage, OPS, and another deep playoff run. And then the injuries started to hit, and he hasn't been the same player since. And it's not like football. You know, we expect football players to be able to overcome injuries and still be successful, and it's tough in that sport, too. You're seeing it with Khalil Mack. He's been banged up the last 2 years. He's been out there on the field. So they, you know, no excuses are allowed if you're out there on the field. But he's not been able to dominate games the same way we saw him dominate games consistently throughout the 2018 season. And I think that's when you need a full team to be able to step up. But ultimately, there are certain players that no matter how good their backups are, they can't do anything close to the level of a Chris Bryant or a Khalil Mack. And I think sometimes we forget about that. So that's why when I would hear all the soft talk about Chris Bryant over the last 3 years, it's just too much sometimes to ask somebody to overcome a wrist injury when you're a hitter, or to overcome a back injury when you're a hitter, or a shoulder injury or a knee injury. And I think it's hurt the Cubs the last 3 years. And I don't blame them for listening to offers or talking about potentially trading him, because now the question of durability comes up, and it's a legitimate one. But in terms of whether or not this guy has lost it, he hasn't lost anything. He's just lost the ability to stay healthy for the last 3 years.
Right. And I think that part of, you know, the narrative around Chris Bryant has actually, it's worked against him that the injuries have been of the nagging variety, and they haven't been, he tore his meniscus, he was out for 3 months. Or he dislocated a shoulder and was on the 60-day injured list. You know, it was always like little bumps and bruises and nicks, and he's going to take a few games off, and maybe it'll be a stint, maybe it won't. And then you play through it, and you play through an injury, and then you overcompensate, and then your production goes down a little bit. And like you said with Khalil Mack, if you're out there, you're going to be held to your standard of we assume that you're good enough to play. But in baseball, it's a very tough thing to overcome. You can't really just like grit and tough your way through it. Everything's right. About timing and the mental side of the game and all of that. So I think it's he was clearly in a tough spot. The failure stuff, we talked about it on the show yesterday. I mean, could you imagine playing in the sport of failure and never failing until after you had won an MVP and a World Series? And then
it's crazy.
And there can't be 10 guys in the history of the sport that have had as much success as he had early and then also experienced, you know, some degree of failure. And I also think like putting failure on it is also like overly harsh. Like a down year for him was if he flirted with a 900 OPS, right? It's not right. Like he was ever a bad baseball player. He just was below his standards. And Spiegs made the point of when he became a father talking about how he did not want his child to play baseball because he didn't want his son to live, like to try to have to surpass dad and all of that. And we know that he felt that pressure from his dad, who he has a great relationship and who helped him a lot and is his hitting coach and all of that. But like, I think that there is some of Chris Bryant that he was put on this path early. He was great at it. He achieved fame and riches and success beyond anyone's wildest imagination. But that's how everybody else projects onto him. Like I hope he's fully satisfied and whole and happy and all of that stuff. But he might not be. He might not get that until he's done playing baseball and he gets to do something on his own volition that he really wants. And now he's just in a tough spot because he hasn't been playing that well the last couple of years. He's expensive, and he's only got 1 year left. So you're this all-time Cubs legend, and your approval rating is not nearly as high as it was a couple of years ago, and there's a chance that you're going to be traded and go out on a low note. That just – it can't be fun. It can't be as fun as it was for him in 15, 16, and 17.
And I get all the people that don't care about – the human side of a player, especially with so many people struggling just to put food on the table during the pandemic. You know, people who would love to have the problems that Chris Bryant has. You know, how do you feel sorry for someone who makes $19.5 million? I get it. But you can't forget that they're human too. And if money could buy happiness, well, there'd be a lot, you know, Clearly it doesn't, because we've seen way too many instances over the years. It makes life a little bit easier, but they're still human beings, and people still have to overcome whatever kind of adversity. In sports, it's many times being able to overcome injuries, ailments, to still approach a high level of success. And Chris Bryant is going through that right now. When I zoom back and I look at some of the moves that the Cubs have made, and I get there are a lot of fans that are angry that it appears as though they're stripping the thing down, I look at it from a different standpoint. I don't mind an organization that says, you know what, we had a window, we made the playoffs 5 times in 6 years, but it's been 2 very different windows in 1, if you will. Deep playoff runs for the first 3 years, and then 0 playoff victories over the last 3, and that's not good enough. So you know what? They want to create another championship window, so they're breaking it down a little bit, not completely tearing it down like they did when Theo Epstein first came aboard, but they're trying to strip it down and build back up to create a new championship window. To me, I want to be a fan of that kind of team, as opposed to a team that just goes with the status quo, because that's the easy thing to do.
I agree with you. What's hard is when you claim biblical losses without transparency in your numbers, and it seems like you're tearing down more than other teams, leaving me to believe that you're trying to sell some sort of narrative of you hurting more than the other teams, when I want the Cubs to be operating like a big market behemoth. But the truth is, Zach, that they got a little unlucky. All of their guys who are up after 2021 were trending downwards heading into 2020. And then COVID, short season, 1 year left, like suppressed market and all of that stuff. And so now you can't even sell for 75 cents on the dollar. You're going to be selling for 30, 40, 50 cents on the dollar, as evidenced by the Yu Darvish trade and some of the other things that have happened around baseball. So it's just it's a clunky end, through some fault of their own from underproduction, but also from a lot of external forces, i.e. the pandemic and what's happened with the money in the game, that it's an unfortunate ending for the greatest team and greatest era in the history of Cubs baseball. And I am assuming that when this team is ready to compete again, hopefully not too long, that they're right back in it with Yu Darvish and John Lester-type free agent signings, Jason Hayward-type free agent signings. Like, I will expect, once the world returns to normal, for the Cubs to be a top 5 or 6 payroll team again perennially, even if they have to take a step back for a year or two right now.
I believe that's the goal. The other issue is, after the pandemic, and we really don't know when it's going to end, there's that. There's the fact that there's labor uncertainty in Major League Baseball when the current collective bargaining agreement runs out after the 2021 season. But I do think you have an owner that is clearly committed. You don't start the network that they started. You don't rebuild the neighborhood the way they rebuilt it. You don't, due to the things that you've done to Wrigley Field to make it a real sports palace that it is right now, unless you're truly committed to sustained success. And I think that's why, if there is a time to kind of strip it down a little bit and create a new window, now's the time to do it. And I think that's what you're seeing the Blackhawks do. In a way, you're seeing the Bulls do that as well. The White Sox just happened to be at a time where they built it back up. They're good enough right now, so why waste time? Because you don't know how much longer you're going to be at this level. So they're all in. I get it. But that's why I'm not killing the Cubs for what they've done, because I understand it. I get it if I zoom back and look at the big picture with that ball club.
The Darvish trade, that one hurts, man. He was top 3 in Cy Young. Yu Darvish became a bargain. And so, like, I hear you, but when they talk about, like, changing up their lineup and diversifying it, and, you know, the definition of insanity that Bernstein goes insane about, you know, doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome, all that stuff, like, it would have been crazy to bring the exact same team back that had faltered in October and couldn't hit in the playoffs and all that down the stretch the last couple of years. That would have been crazy. But say what you will about the Cubs, Yu Darvish wasn't the problem. And so it does feel like that part was more primarily driven by money, and that, or that they really don't think that the rest of his contract, they're going to be able to field a winner within that time frame. So, like, either explanation or a combination of the two, neither one is one that I think fans are going to be too pumped about.
He's not getting any younger. His value is probably the highest that it would ever be as a Cub. and you had a unique circumstance in which another team in Major League Baseball, when a lot of them are trying to do the same thing the Cubs are doing, there's a unique relationship because of the people running the Padres and their history with Darvish. They wanted him. You had an opportunity to get prospects. So even though that may have not been the initial plan heading into the offseason, I think they tried to take advantage of it. That's how I see it. But I just hope that the ability to create this new window doesn't take as long as it took to create that first championship window that they put together. Who do you have on the show today?
Yeah, I agree with that. So ahead of Championship Sunday, we will have guests who are experts on all four teams, but our 3 o'clock guest is going to be a little special and a little bit different. Diehard Bills fan and huge character actor, and now second time in like 3 weeks that he's coming on the show, William Fichtner is going to join us at 3 o'clock. He was incredible last time telling stories from The Dark Knight and Armageddon and Entourage and Black Hawk Down and all sorts of things. So he's going to join us at 3 to talk about the Bills and tell some more stories from his incredible career. Then middle of 3 o'clock hour, we got guests from Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay. Charles Davis joins us in the 4 o'clock hour, hoping for Tim Anderson to call in. So we've got a lot of stuff ahead of your big football weekend, Zach.
Can't wait. Have a great show.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.